This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Give us a call at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get going with some headlines. Mariners get a 5-3 victory, a kind of wild game last night. It was 3-3. Good pitching performance by Marco Gonzalez, who went seven innings. But then the game tied up, and then back-to-back home runs. Tim Beckham getting the game-winning home run in the top of the ninth. So the Mariners get their 18th win and two wins in this series. So that's encouraging. That's one where you could see the hitting is back. Now that they're facing worse pitching, that's encouraging. And, of course, they did get some good pitching last night. Series continues tonight at 6:07. And, of course, pregame will begin at 5. Julio Rodriguez looks like he's going to be one of their top prospects. Got a hit, and so fracture on the arm, hand, and that. So he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Tough blow there. Danny Altavilla, the guy who started really in the major leagues here with the team, had a bad performance. And then next thing you know, he's now going down to Double A. He's really struggling. And those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. How are you feeling this fine Saturday morning?
Oh, not too bad. How about you?
All right. Just great. Hey, look, let's get right to it. What do you think about that schedule overall, the NFL schedule, the start of the season and all that?
Well, I know they screwed up on two, and they've already admitted it. Oakland Raiders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mike North, who I guess works with the league and works on the schedule, came back and said, yeah, if they can redo it, they'd like to do the Oakland schedule again, because Oakland they get their second game, which is a home game, a home opener against Kansas City, and then they're on the road for 2 months. They don't get a home game until November, and it's pretty much something similar for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then to make matters worse for the Raiders, they end up getting 6 10 a.m. starts, you know, West Coast time, 1 o'clock starts on the East. I mean, that's totally unfair. So those two teams are doomed. Thought that it was good that Philadelphia was the only team that gets the three-game road trip. Still wish they'd find a way so they can balance it off. They have four teams, including Indianapolis, that have two games at home. Our two games on the road to open up the season. So, yeah, lots of nuances. I mean, they have little devices in there with the computer to try to fix some things, but they don't have everything fixed yet.
No, and also, you know, I was particularly looking at the Saints.
Yeah.
I mean, they pop open with Houston, then they got to come on a two-game trip to the West Coast with Seattle and the Rams, mm-hmm. and come back for Dallas. I mean, what do you think about their schedule?
That one was pretty tough. Yeah, particularly to open up that early on the road with back-to-back road games and not being able to stay in New Orleans, because I'm sure they're going to have to stay on the West Coast before the Seattle game. So that one's a little bit tough. I thought that Indianapolis, I mean, you know, they open up with two games on the road, and then I think they got three or four games in the back end of the season on the road. All their home games are kind of clumped in the middle.
Yeah, I know. That was a pretty difficult schedule, too. And it's just, you know, the Cleveland Browns, they picked up a lot of primetime games.
Yeah, I got four primetime games.
Is that due to the fact that Odell Beckham Jr. is there?
No, I think it's just that they're on the rise. I mean, I think it's more Baker Mayfield. I think to a small degree it's Odell Beckham Jr. But the fact that they've revamped their defensive line, they got Sheldon Richardson and Olivier Vernon. You know, they were able to now have two Pro Bowl wide receivers. And a lot of people think they might be the best team in the division on paper. Now, again, they have to show it in the games, but on paper they look pretty good. So I think that's what it is more than anything else.
Yeah. What do you think about Mike Mayock sending all the scouting department home and only letting a few people be there? Because I know the draft is coming up this week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's totally unusual. But, of course, everything in Oakland is unusual with John Gruden. And so knowing that they're going to fire just about everybody, they don't want any leaks. And so because of that, they just kick everybody out. But, again, Mike comes in there, and we'll see what he can do. But ultimately, it's going to be John Gruden. I mean, John Gruden's going to be making the decisions on this stuff.
Yeah, definitely. John Gruden, it looks like John Gruden is the one that's making all the decisions right now, as far as that's concerned.
Oh, yeah, no
over
question.
Over there with the Raiders. Yeah, understandable. And they got, what, three first-round draft choices?
Three first-round picks, yeah.
Wow. I mean, they need to make at least two to three at least be formidable.
Well, they need all three to be formidable.
Wouldn't you say so, Mr. Clayton?
They need all three to be formidable.
Well,
they need all three of them to be formidable.
That's, no question.
That's correct. Because if they don't make those three, at least three of them be formidable out there, there's going to be some problems, some hell to pay as far as that's concerned. Well, I mean, you got three first-round draft picks. That should at least enable your team to help turn around.
Right.
Do you think that the Raiders went a little too over in some of the free agents that they picked up?
They overpaid in some. I mean, I like what they've done at the receiving spot. I mean, getting Tyrell Adams, Williams, that was good. I thought they did a good job, you know, filling out the receivers. They overpaid on Trenton Brown. And again, this is where, you know, you can really kind of question where John Gruden is on all this stuff. Because, for example, you know, here they go and they get a first-round offensive lineman, Colton Miller, a third-round offensive lineman, and then they have to pay, $16.5 million for a tackle. They draft two tackles and they have to pay $16.5 for a tackle. That's not advancing you anywhere.
No, it's not at all. But it's going to be interesting to see him. And Mike Mayock, I have a lot of confidence in him. I think the guy's he's a real good student of evaluating talent.
Right.
You remember, you know, he was on the NFL Network. He used to talk about a lot of evaluations of talent, particularly in the college game. So he should have a real good insight on the incoming class that's coming in from out of college,
uh-huh,
as far as that's concerned. Who first round pick, Mr. Clayton? Give me your top five.
Top five picks? I mean, the way it's going to go or what my top five would be?
Yeah, the way it's going
to
go?
It's going to be Tyler Miller going number one to Arizona. Number two, that would be they would take Nick Bosa. Number three then becomes Josh Allen going to the New York Jets. Number four, I have Quentin Williams going to the Oakland Raiders. And number five, I've got Devin White going to Tampa Bay.
You know, that's interesting. You didn't say nothing about Kyler Murray, about the Murray kid out of Oklahoma.
No, I said
why
he's
going
to go number one.
Oh, yeah, okay. Maybe I misunderstood what you said. Now, Cliff Kingsbury, if I read right, he said he wanted Murray, okay? Mm-hmm. But the general manager is the one that's going to make the decision?
That's correct.
So what if he changes his mind?
I mean, he could, but I think that's the guy that they want.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense as far as that. But I'm going to tell you, see that Devin White, Mr. Clayton? And I'm not saying that because he's from LSU and I'm an LSU fan,
right,
and all this and that. Devin White is a real good football player. I mean, for the people that hasn't seen Devin White play football at that linebacker position, oh, my God, wait till you see this guy play football.
Oh, he's sensational. Yeah, I agree with that. That's why I think he's going to go as the fifth pick in the draft.
Oh, yeah, easily. I mean, this guy can do it. I mean, primarily, I've seen this guy go from putting his hand on the ground, rushing the quarterback. I've seen him play the inside Mike backer. He's played the outside, and I've seen him in pass coverage. Mm-hmm. And he's a real good thumper against the run. So, I mean, whoever gets him, they're getting a real dandy football player. It's not one of those guys that's manufactured that you got to have somebody alongside of you to make you better.
Mm-hmm.
He is the leader of whatever you want him to do. And how you want him to play.
Right.
That is, yeah, cornerbacks, where do you see them start to come off the board?
Well, there's a debate going on right now because I thought that, you still don't know whether Drew Locke's going to go to Denver at 10. There's now a consensus that's coming back and saying that Daniel Jones is going to go number six, and that puts Dwayne Haskins down to maybe Miami at 13, and that could allow maybe one more quarter. Let's see. So it's like I at this stage, I think it's going to be. I'm still trying to sort through the Daniel Jones thing, mm-hmm. So that puts Haskins down at 13 or so to Miami.
Now Jones is the kid from Duke, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that he's better than Haskins right now at this particular point in time.
The thought the Giants do. Mostly everybody has him as the fourth quarterback.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, Haskins is a very intriguing guy. I mean, when you look at him and how you look at it, the way he delivers the ball, his structure. I look at him as more of a pocket passer than he is a guy that's very mobile.
Uh-huh.
How do you look at him?
I think he's more of a pocket passer. I mean, because again, obviously, and again, the big thing with Daniel Jones is that David Cutcliffe, was the one who trained him and coached him, and he trained both Eli and Manning. He had both Mannings, so that's where the positive is there.
That's what they're looking at, David Cutcliffe's tutelage with Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, though, the quarterback class, do you find it to be very deep this year?
No, not at all. Because then once you get past those top four, they're all pretty much developmental guys. I mean, Greer from West Virginia is more developmental. So, no, I don't find it as being a – it's not as good as last year, and it's not going to be as good as next year.
What about the kid from Washington State?
I'd say about fifth
round. The quarterback.
Round. Yeah, fifth round.
What do you think about him?
I think he's good. I mean, I think he's got good leadership. I think he's a fun guy. I think that he's got talent. It's just going to take him time because he comes out of a spread offense.
Yeah, and he didn't work too much under center at Washington State, which was at East Carolina. He might have did a little bit more working under the center and working at from East Carolina. I find him very intriguing. I find him a guy that you could put him behind a decent veteran quarterback. You could probably give him some intangibles. The one good thing about him, Mr. Clayton, he's got some big hands.
Right.
That means he can deliver that ball in any type of weather.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, that is very much needed for a quarterback to be able to have that ability to deliver that ball in any type of weather. So that I'm very intrigued to see where he goes in the draft.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
That's for it.
Hey, JB, got to run.
All right, Mr. Clayton, enjoy that next weekend. We'll talk.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
Taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hi, John. How are you?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm doing fine. Calling you from sunny Tampa Bay, Florida.
Oh, what are you doing down there?
Well, I'm here on business.
Okay.
And I just thought I had to get my John Clayton fixed this morning, so I gave you a call.
I appreciate that.
There's a lot going on with the NFL, John.
Yes.
John, so just to piggyback on to what you and JV were talking about, you know, Raiders got screwed on the schedule, John. I mean,
they
that's
did
really
big time.
Pathetic. And I can't help but think it's their own fault, though, John. I mean, think about it. Remember what Roger Goodell talked about when he said, hey, I'd like the Raiders to settle up their lease situation, mm-hmm. you know, at the first week of February. Well, that didn't happen. I mean, I think it was in early March where things actually got settled up. I mean, there were a lot of moving parts there. But frankly, it's their own darn fault. And then they tried to – I think what they did is they slotted it in the best way they could, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my theory at least. So I think they deserve a bad schedule, John.
I mean, but that schedule is as bad as I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And, you know, the strength of schedule, the people they play, for heaven's sake.
5:39, it's the toughest in the league.
Exactly. And, you know, with all the transition going on with that franchise, John, the last year conceivably in Oakland, and then, you know, moving out with all the different moving parts they've had, it's going to be a challenge, John. I mean, a lot of the Raiders fans are just they're really upset about it. The other thing about the Mayock comment that you guys were talking about earlier with JB, look, the Raiders have never been a transparent organization, John. They've been, for the most part, open with all the online media that they now provide. Like every NFL franchise, they can control the message a lot better.
Right.
But they've never necessarily been the most media-friendly franchise, in my opinion, John. And that goes way back to, you know, Mr. Davis and, you know, his the way he views the media.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's not unusual. They're going to close off. They're not going to let people go into the draft room. I would be very surprised. And you know, and then down the road, of course, you know, HBO is going to want them to come knocking at the door, and that's not going to happen either.
No,
you know,
not
with,
at all.
With you know, that kind of what they do every year with the losing organization and all that kind of stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong, it'd be great media.
No doubt.
Great ratings.
I think I even told Gruden that. It's like, boy, you got to be on Hard Knocks. He wasn't agreeing.
They're going to do everything they can to fight that one, John.
Oh, sure.
John, the other thing that's interesting is I hear that Russell Wilson signed a new contract, and good for him, good for the Seattle fans, good for the Seattle Seahawks. That's fantastic. Well-deserved. But it has implications for the NFL and what's going to go on with that franchise going forward. what's going to happen with Frank Clark, John, because I haven't really been keeping up with things.
They put him on hold to get the Russell deal done because it was a deadline. They can still get it done. The update John Snyder said on Thursday is that they he doesn't anticipate a holdout. Frank's been at least tweeting some positive things. It's a matter of, where does he get between 18 and 21 million bucks?
Right. But you guys got to also sign Bobby Wagner, John.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not going to be an easy thing to do.
No, but again, it's like they've got plenty of cap room next year. The way the Russell deal works out is that it's $65 million to sign, but you pay 30 of it this year with a $5 million base and 35 next year.
Okay. Well, let's see if you can read between the lines on this one. A lot of franchises need an edge rusher, John, and one that's established like Frank Clark. What's the likelihood that Frank Clark gets traded?
I think it's unlikely.
What's that?
It's unlikely. I mean, this is a good draft for edge pass rushers.
I agree.
If you're going to be a team, but you're going to be a team, you want to trade a first round pick and pay 19, 20 million bucks for that, as opposed to getting somebody that's going to be a young pass rusher that you don't have to pay that much as just as a rookie?
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more, John. You and I are tracking the same way. They keep saying the same stuff about Jay Davey and Cloudy, and you set me right on that one about, six, seven, eight, maybe even 9 weeks ago. I said, hey, they're not going to let him go.
No.
I think that's absolutely correct. They're not going to let these edge rushers go, or for that matter, these valuable defensive linemen. For the sake of some other franchise? No. so they can save a little bit of room when these guys are players, and they contribute quite a bit and help the bottom line. They bring in tickets, mm-hmm. They even bring in ticket buyers.
I mean, it's hard to find these edge rushers that are good.
Oh, Mr. Gruden said so not too long ago.
He gave the best one of the best ones up. That was pretty crazy.
That's right, John. That's absolutely correct. So it was also interesting to see that you literally haven't seen as far as your outlook on what the NFL draft's going to do. If Murray gets taken first, if he doesn't get taken first, then everything's thrown out the window. But I think Bosa's going to the Niners. I'd be stupid to pass up on him. I wouldn't want him on my team, by the way, John. But I think Quinnen Williams is the best person in the draft, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And they could pop him on the outside. He started at Alabama as a defensive end, not on the interior. But, everyone looks to Aaron Donald as a model, and why shouldn't he? He's a monster on the defensive line. I don't know if Quinnen Williams is going to be able to come up to that kind of standard. But it'd be interesting to see him and Mo Hurst, for instance, coming up the middle for the silver and black.
Mm-hmm. Hey, got to run, but enjoy yourself in Tampa.
Okay, John, take care.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Renton. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, John. How are you this morning?
Good, how are you?
Good. Hey, John, what do you think about the Steelers' schedule? It's looking pretty good there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad at all. I mean, I didn't see any real problems with it. I thought that it looked pretty balanced. Nothing really out of sorts or anything of that nature. And that's encouraging, just because remember they're also playing the West Coast and playing the NFC West. So no, I think they came out of it pretty well. I mean,
I see where Seattle's going back to Pittsburgh. I'm gonna try and get back there and watch that game.
Uh huh.
You see where they open up with New England?
At New England, on Sunday night.
That's going to be a good game there. Hey, John, I was listening to you yesterday afternoon. All of a sudden, you said you're a Browns fan, and you picked the Browns to win that division. Come on. Right now, on paper. Come on, John, that's on paper.
It's on paper. That's why it's in question.
You got a rookie head coach. Got to manage a lot of big Eagles there.
Right. No, but that's going to be the challenge.
I don't know. Baker Mayfield, he's a hothead. He's a one-of-a-kind type of person,
Mm-hmm, but he's a good one right now. I mean, he looks very encouraging.
Yeah. Hey, John, I want to let you know, did you know that Heinz Field have a daily tour there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was back there last summer in a family reunion, and it's a tour that they give you. It's like a two-hour tour. They take you down on the field and the press box.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really nice tour.
Yeah, I used to do that over at Three Rivers.
Yeah, I recommend all Steeler fans to go to Heinz Field for a tour there.
Not a bad move.
Yeah. Well, John, you have a good Saturday, and you take care.
Okay, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Trevor in Port Orchard. Hey, Trevor.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. Hey, I wanted to get your take on the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. I personally was a big fan of Nathaniel Hackett. I mean, to go from a quarterback coach for Blake Bortles they just shipped him off for DeFilippo, I'm guessing, to help out with Nick Foles, but it didn't make any sense because I'm thinking this is a running team, and DeFilippo left the Vikings because he wasn't running the ball.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to see what your take on that was first.
Yeah, but I think DeFilippo looks like he has a chance to be okay. You remember, it's hard when you're being coached by Mike Zimmer because Zimmer's really hard on his assistant coaches. But you're right, he did not run the ball as much as he should, and that did cost him his job. But, you know, I think they're going to be better with Foles, so they're going to be better on offense. You know, you can see that the pressure's on right now because, you know, Tom Coughlin was ripping Jalen Ramsey for not being there along with Telvin Smith because not being in the offseason program, and even the union had to come out on that.
I mean, it just seems like a mess down there, and it's just unfortunate because they had such a good team. And where do they sit cap-wise right now?
They're okay cap-wise. I mean,
okay.
I think they got about 18, 19 million.
So do you think anything's going to happen with Jalen Ramsey? Do you think any possibility of him or Leonard Fournette being traded?
No, Fournette continues to get himself in trouble. They're standing by him right now because remember he was driving without a license and all that stuff, or a suspended license. So they backed him up on that, you know, because I think he's in question. But you know, Ramsey's not helping himself by not being there because he's angered Tom Coughlin.
No, and I think he's playing his own game last year. I don't think he was playing for the team last year. I think that really hurt him. He was running zones while everybody else was running man, and vice versa. And didn't make any sense to me. It's just unfortunate.
So, and that's what you have to wonder about. I mean, you know, in fact, a lot of people were surprised that there was no coaching change.
Yeah. All right, John. Well, have a good day.
All right. Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Taking your phone calls, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jet in Seattle. Hey, Jet.
Dr. John.
How's it going?
As a New York fan, as you know, it's the happiest time of the year.
Absolutely. It's draft time.
You betcha. And, of course, day after, it's going to be the worst time of the year because I'm sure we'll be disappointed.
Probably. So which way do you think they're going to go at number three with the New York Jets?
You know, personally, I'm kind of torn. Because I'm really intrigued by picking up Williams, and really, if he turns into like a Warren Sapp type, I mean, I really think that's the way the NFL's got to go because the ball gets out so darn fast, especially with the Patriots, that I really think you got to collapse that pocket from the interior.
Right.
And put the pressure up front. So I'm really interested what I'm worried about is they'll pass on him because they're going to keep messing around with a 3-4 instead of just kind of giving it up and going to 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love to see him and Leonard Williams, the two down linemen in a 4-3.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We've been saying it now for the last couple of years. I just don't understand why don't they switch to a 4-3?
I don't know. And the other thing I'm kind of curious is how they're going to work Mosley and Williamson together.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting. But going back to the draft now, you think they're going with Allen on the outside?
I think so, yeah. Although I know that Rich Samiti did a mock draft yesterday, and and what Rich did from ESPN, I think he did switch off and gave him Williams.
Yeah, I know he's been touting Allen or figuring they're going to pick up Allen because of the need on the outside pass rusher. But I guess the thing that kind of concerns me, and again, I'm no expert on this, I just watch football.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of folks that are kind of a little squeamish on Allen, and they've dropped him down a little bit on their draft board, and some other guys have elevated a little bit. So I'm just kind of wondering everybody seems high on Williams. I mean, that just seems to be kind of a consensus.
Right.
And, I just wonder if Maccagney is going to do what he did with Leo, in his first draft, basically just take the best player available.
Very well could.
But what I'm concerned about, I know we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, was, I just get the feeling he's hell-bent on trading down. And I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if it'll reach fruition. But what I'm most concerned about, one thing, I'll give Maccagney credit. He's done well in positioning himself in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done well in his first-round picks.
Right.
Of course, he had a lot of high picks. And a couple players like Jamal Allen and Williams fell to him. And Darren Lee didn't quite work out. What I'm concerned about is he hasn't really done that well later on in the draft. Mm-hmm. So just go with what you're good at. Take the number, you take the first round pick, and then just go with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, I mean, without that second round pick that they traded away last year to get Sam Darnold, that does put them in a little bit of a hole, and they also only have six picks.
Yeah, and they definitely have obviously a lot more needs. But the nice thing is, you know, if they do pick up a second round pick, you know, I'd like to see them, you know, pick up a center. Mm-hmm. Cause I'm not sure, because they got a nice pick, obviously the first pick in the third round, but I don't know what's going to be available that far down. And if they do get in the second round, that's what I was kind of hoping, they pick up a center.
Right.
You know, because there's the one guy from North Carolina State that's pretty good. That's what I was kind of hoping. But, again, I'm just concerned the possibility of them screw up later picks is just more concerning to me than just take your game changer and
right.
and be grateful.
No, I think that's fair, but, you know, they're sitting in a good spot. I mean, you know, I don't know if you can go wrong anyway. I mean, what, you pick up a linebacker who can rush the passer and get you sacks. I mean, they need that. But the weird thing is, it seems like it's the ownership that's forcing the 3-4 defense, not the coaching staff.
Why do you get that sense?
That's what I hear.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Hard to tell.
I mean, it doesn't make sense, and certainly, given their personnel the last 6-7 years, it never made sense from a personnel standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. One last question I asked before here is, what do you think about the Montgomery signing?
It's okay. I mean, good backup. I mean, a guy that can maybe do some things as a pass catcher. That's not bad. I mean, it was $895,000. It was the minimum plus $90,000. So, you know, it gives him, although, you know, you wonder, it would have been better served to get a more physical back, because, you know, Le'Veon Bell is going to be the pass catching back along with that. But I didn't think it was bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, they really don't have a short yardage back.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't have a full back or any type of heavy set back. You're right. But I do think it was wise in that it can take a little bit of wear and tear off Bell. They're somewhat interchangeable.
Right.
And you can put them both in the backfield, or put one in H-back. You got an awful lot of receivers, so I'm thinking, in lieu of adding another tight end, for example, he's throwing both out there at the same time, because Montgomery certainly is big enough. But the question I was going to ask is, as I don't really, not that familiar with him, is he a problem in the clubhouse, or is he a problem for management?
No, not at all. Haven't heard that at all. No.
Then what was it? Then why did Green Bay get rid of him? I know he made some big errors out there, which seems, was it just because of?
Now, remember, it's like Green Bay getting rid of him doesn't mean it's necessarily, I mean, he disappointed because they didn't know if he was better as a wide receiver or a running back. They really just couldn't figure out what to do with him. But remember, I mean, this is a Green Bay team, even though they've been on top of their game for so long, they've made a lot of mistakes. I mean, they let two Pro Bowl guys go out of their defense. I mean, three Pro Bowl guys. Remember, they traded Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. They, you know, let Micah Hyde go to Buffalo, and he went to the Pro Bowl. Casey Hayward, they let him go. So sometimes you say, okay, what's wrong with the guy? Well, what's wrong with some of the decision-making?
Yeah, it seems like they're just too constrained into the box. They really weren't thinking outside the box much. And I think that that's what I'm hoping, is that Gaze can excel with something like that and use Bell, use mm-hmm. Herndon, use Montgomery in ways that can really confound the defense, because these guys are versatile. They seem to be putting together versatile players,
right,
with multiple skill sets. And I think if done correctly and creatively, they can wreak a lot of havoc on the defense, because they're not really sure what to expect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the other nice thing is, it'll be just because you're in a line, has a certain personnel set, it doesn't guarantee what they're going to be running, like the Jets have been, well, geez, for the last how long now? I mean, you knew the personnel package, what you were going to get.
Right.
So it was really no mystery, just pack 8 in the box, because you knew what was coming.
Well, it's going to be interesting, but by this time next week, we'll know which way they're going to go.
Well, you know, the anticipation is the best part.
Exactly. Hey, thank you for the phone call.
Take care, John. Bye-bye.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Patrick in Kent. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, good morning, John. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. It's been an outstanding week getting Russell Wilson signed.
It really was. I mean, a historic type of week, if you really want to think about it. I mean, that was huge.
Definitely.
So I thought that went pretty well, and I thought that he got a fair deal. Thought that it just worked out kind of perfectly. And I give him the credit because, you know, he's the one that came up with the idea to, get the deal done early.
Yeah. What was the purpose of having a deadline?
Well, and this is his idea. It's like, okay, we had a deadline the last time, and it went to training camp, and that, from his mindset, too disrupting and too much pressure. I mean, distracted him a little bit going into camp, and he wants to focus on that. And it's like, okay, listen, I want to get a deal done. You want to get a deal done? Make your best offer. And so by putting the deadline on, that it sped things up, so now you know exactly what you have.
All right. One last thing about the salary cap. How will they be able to sign Bobby Wagner and Frank Clark?
They can do it because when you think about it, the three top cap numbers on their team were Russell Wilson, you have Frank Clark, and then Bobby Wagner. So cap-wise, when you do a deal, the cap number is going to come down. So that's one way to get it done. Secondly, cash-wise, even though it was a $65 million signing bonus, 35 of it's being paid next year. So you can still work within your budget. So that works out okay. So it's just a matter of, getting a deal that's between $18 and $21 million for Frank, and then seeing if you can get a deal done for $14.5 to $15, maybe $15.5 for Bobby Wagner.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
All right, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call here as we, start getting ready for the draft. It really was a big week. I mean, a big news week, of course. I know the schedule sometimes doesn't seem like it's a big deal, but I know at ESPN, it was always considered to be almost like a national holiday because there was so much interest in the draft and so many things going on there. So that was huge. And of course, they came out of it okay. I mean, the only bad part for the Seahawks was getting the, four games at the early starts. That didn't help. But hey, they've got a winning record. I think with 10-8 or something like that, with Russell Wilson in those games. There were two games above 500, and so as long as they can just manage the clock and all those different things, that's all right. Then you've got the Russell Wilson deal. That was good. Let's go to Irish Mankey. Irish Mankey, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Clayton. Fantastic on this Easter weekend, and I hope you have a great weekend, and you and Mrs. Clayton.
Mm-hmm. We hope so.
Mr. Clayton. So R.J. White, out of the Washington Post, has put together his mock draft, and I was kind of curious how it aligned with your thinking.
Okay.
He has Kansas City. He has the Seahawks trading out of 21 mm-hmm. to Kansas City and then turning around and picking up Kansas City's first-round pick at 29 to take the Washington Husky cornerback, Byron Murphy. And then he's got Baltimore, the Seahawks trading to Baltimore in the second round, the 63rd pick from Kansas City. Always wheeling and dealing. And then in the third round, he's got defensive end Anthony Nelson from Iowa. And in the third round, Riley Ridley from Georgia.
Okay.
What are you thinking about those first?
Well, first off, I mean, Byron Murphy is a really good player. I don't see him being available at 31. I think he could go, to Pittsburgh, Oakland, one of those two teams. And so that I don't see happening. And, technically, he's 5'11". He doesn't have the dimensions that they prefer, because they like the 6'2 and a half. They like, 6 foot, 6'1", 32 and a half inch arms and all that stuff. So he's not as long and angular. And, and if you're Pete Carroll, I mean, you're so good with John Snyder finding guys in the fourth and fifth round. Are you really going to put a first round pick on a cornerback when you have two starters?
Right. Just a guy writing in the Washington Post, like you do.
Right.
So they in later rounds, they've got offensive tackle David Edwards from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
He's got tight end Tommy Sweeney from Boston College. And then the seventh round, he's got a running back, Hidden.
Yeah, I mean, three are areas that they really don't need to draft anybody.
Yeah. For Mr. Jet, I had read that Love may be drafted by the Jets in a later round.
Yeah, but his knee's bad.
they can fix that. Mr. Clayton?
It was it's a bad knee. I mean, it's a big
bad?
Concern.
That bad? He won't play in the pros?
No, he'll play, but it's like he may have to be an undrafted guy.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, Mr. Clayton,
yes.
It's a short time, and we're running out. Oh, the grass is growing at Notre Dame, Mr. Clayton.
There you go. That's encouraging.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
And our thanks to Matt Nelson for running the show. Our thanks to Matt Nelson for producing the show. Give us a call at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Victor in Auburn. Hey, Victor.
Hey, John. Another great show.
Well, thank you.
Hey, any series coming up?
Nothing right now. No,
yeah, they've been having some other hosts on there. Not digging it.
What's that?
Two quick questions, bud. Where do you think the Bills are going to go in the draft and then the Broncos right after them?
I think right now, I mean, a lot of people think it's going to be Jonah Williams, the tackle from Alabama. I think it's going to be Rashad Gary, the pass-rushing defensive end. Now, if, it's not out of the question for them to, maybe consider taking a tight end, Hawkerson, but I think they need, they have taken six offensive linemen in free agency. So I think they've kind of outdone themselves there, so they don't need to do that. And so I think, they need to get something on defense. And again, a pass rusher is going to be hard to pass up. Now, if Ed Oliver's there, I think they take him. Now, what was the other team you mentioned?
Denver.
I'm going back and forth on that because I still need to find out if they're going to take Drew Lock, because that's to me makes the most logical sense to take Drew Lock. But because if you want a quarterback, and I think he's the quarterback that they like, but if they don't, right now I got him taking T.J. Hockenson, the tight end out of Iowa.
Okay, you don't think it's going to be overkill if Butt comes back, and then they also have Fumagalla, the guy that, he was all injured last year, then they're getting another tight end?
I mean, how good are they really?
Well, I guess they're injury prone, obviously.
Yeah, they're injury prone.
So,
and
don't know.
I mean, Hockenson's the best tight end in the draft, and he's a good value. Now, on the other side, maybe they'll consider something in the secondary, but that's going to be too high to go somebody in the secondary.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if they were able to get Land White, that linebacker, but I don't think he's going to be there at number 10.
No, I think White's going to go 5 to Tampa Bay.
All right, John. Hey, you take care, bud. Nice to hear you.
Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Rich in Redmond. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Mr. Clayton.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm kind of confused, and I'm sure a lot of people are, as far as the Russell Wilson signing, as far as the large upfront signing bonus as compared to how that affects the rest of the team,
mm-hmm.
as also compared to tagging him as the franchise player,
right? So what can I clear up?
Far as how it affects the the total amount that they can spend.
Yeah, so it goes very positively because it gives them a $13 million proration, and so they over the next several years they're going to be able to keep his cap number 15% to 16%, and that's manageable from the cash flow standpoint. I mean, it's $65 million to sign, but he's only taking 30 of it this year. 35 goes next year, so that's okay. And I mean, if you look at it, the 57.5 was the deal that Aaron Rodgers did as far as his signing bonus. So it's all manageable. I mean, it's all fair from both sides. And because it comes out because normally what you're going to have is 2 times the average being the full guarantee. Because again, it's not $107 million guaranteed. 2 years of it are going to be on injury guarantees, and they don't count unless you're injured. And so the full guarantee is $70 million, $35 million. It balances and works out well.
So this way is better than tagging him as a franchise player and doing $35 million.
Yeah, because if you tag him as a franchise player, you're going to lose him in 2 years. After 2 years of franchise tags, you're not going to do the third-year franchise tag at $50 million. That's not happening. So that means if you tag him for 2 years, he's gone in 3.
Got you. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
And then also, I mean, you got more manageable cap. And like, for example, next year's cap for Russell is going to be 31. And so, you know, that's manageable because it's only $800,000 over what the cap number would be for the franchise tag. And then in 2021, the cap number is going to be 32. That's going to be $4 million less. But the big thing is that you've locked up your best player. Hey, I got to run. Coming up next, it's Seattle Sports Saturday. I'll be back on Monday at 10. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.